true.
So me calgary just as fires.
And the stories are true on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome to your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform, educate, and engage with our community.
Yeah, Tom, now before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Crime, sounds like a TV show.
Yeah, I know, right? Dun, 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 dun. Crime may not pay, but it makes for some interesting stories here on the Summit County Justice Files. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and lessons learned. And yes, because we have more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity here on the Summit County Justice Files podcast. And while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone, unless, of course, it was just a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it.
Ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Well, today on the Justice Files, we're going to be talking a lot about the Dillon Reservoir. A lot of things going on, from camping and boating, recreating. I mean, it's one of the big magnets that draws so many people to Summit County.
It really is our summer magnet. I mean, that and our recreational paths and our world-class mountain biking. Oh, wait, our fishing, rafting.
It goes on and on. So many cool things to do in the summertime in Summit County, but there are some dangers that go along with the fun and recreation. There's a powerboat renter on Lake Dillon, and it needed a little assistance. High winds, waves, and rain can occur out on the water.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast, where we get these microburst storms that come through across that lake, especially through the 10-mile canyon, and people get caught in the middle of that lake on their water accessory, whether it be a paddleboard, a paddle boat, a real boat. We have so many different, watercraft out there. But, you know, this one, as you said, we're going to talk about a few of these on there that don't have a great outcome. This one, fortunately, did have a good outcome where, you know, we talked about that the sheriff's office has full-time boat rangers out there during the summer on the lake from sun up to sundown. I thought I said that backwards, that are out there primarily to educate and unfortunately rescue people. This one, they were able to get these folks back to shore safely and guide them back without any injuries or losing the power of their boat. So it was a good outcome. Just thought we'd start out positive. Like, there are good outcomes.
Yeah.
Good interactions with law enforcement, good outcomes.
Everybody had a positive experience until the storm came up, but then, thanks to the Summit County Sheriff's Department taking care of people.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those times when people see the cops and they're like, thank God they're here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh my God, we're going to be safe, rather than, oh my God, it's the cops, run.
Right. We like to think of the Summit County Sheriff's Office and our local law enforcement as helpers in our communities. And we appreciate the work you guys do. Domestic violence incident. A couple got into an argument while they're driving home from an event. The man grabbed at the woman's arm and began driving recklessly. And that escalated the fight.
That escalated the fight. And as you can imagine, this probably started at some local watering hole. I mean, nothing ever ends well that begins with drugs or alcohol. What happened in this case is when they arrived at the apartment, the argument became more physical. With shoving, pushing, biting, and a roommate was out there, luckily, to intervene and witness first the rest of this when it got out of the car, when it spilled out of the car, and intervened, and the man ran off. He took off before deputies got there, but luckily, between the victim and the roommate that intervened, they were able to positively identify this person, and our deputies found him and arrested him. Just a short time later, and took him to jail and booked him on several assault charges and domestic violence. But crime doesn't pay.
Not at all. especially when drugs or alcohol are involved.
Especially. Oh, my God.
Back to the Dillon Reservoir. Deputies received a report of a campfire along the shores of a Dillon Reservoir, which, in a campground, that's cool, but apparently this is not in a campground where this happened.
Yeah, you know, you're not allowed in this Dillon Recreation Area to have open campfires like this. So the deputies did talk to them. They were intoxicated. They warned them. They extinguished the fire and then cautioned this pair. Look, sober up. Don't get in your car and drive. You know, the usual stern warning. Just relax here on the beach. They didn't choose to do that. They got in their car and started to drive away.
Whoopsie. Not a good idea.
Yeah. They were driving away. The deputy obviously pulled them over, and they subsequently went to jail and had their vehicle towed. I mean, it's one of these unfortunate things where, you know, you try to respect someone having a good time and say, put out the fire, which they did. And also, if you have a car, please don't drive it. Wait till you're sober.
Right.
And they waited till they thought the deputy left, and the deputy didn't leave.
No. Thank goodness.
Well, just in case they decide to drive.
Just in case. You know? I mean, who would think that would happen?
Someone intoxicated deciding to drive?
Right.
No. Come on.
Well, this also brings up another issue about fires and campfires, and we are in a what stage ban?
Stage one fire restriction.
Stage one in Summit County.
We are in a stage one, basically meaning no open fires are allowed in the county starting midnight Friday.
So unless you're in a campground with a fire ring that's approved by the campground.
Or here in Summit County, you know, our fire districts permit backyard fires because it's a huge thing, part of coming here and either running an Airbnb or if you own a home, everybody has a backyard campfire. A few years ago, we started regulating those through or permitting them through our fire districts. And homeowners that have permitted those, believe it or not everybody permits them. and then we have to enforce that during a fire restrictions. But if they have those, they can have those fires and they can have, you know, a gas barbecue. They can have charcoal barbecues.
Now, if an owner of an Airbnb has one of those permits, does that apply to everybody who occupies that residence all through the summer?
Yeah, it's for the house.
Okay.
So anyone can use it, but you'd be amazed at how many people. And there's no fee to this. It's just the fire department has to come over and make sure that you fall within the regulations. There's some set regulations about size, depth, you know, water resource, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's not hard to comply with, but some people, you know, just question authority.
Well, and I think the whole fact that it doesn't cost anything to be safe.
To be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
It's cheaper than a ticket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we will fine you during restrictions. I mean, it's a zero tolerance
during
restrictions.
We take wildfires quite seriously.
Yes.
And as we get into some dry weather in the summertime, it's something that has to be on the top of our minds. There is a man who had a verbal argument with an acquaintance to store some of his belongings at her place until he could move into his new apartment. He reported that the woman was now refusing to let him have back his things over a dispute they had over rent money.
So how many times do we talk about roommates here?
All the time. Every time on the Summit County Justice Files.
You know, again, for some reason, when they end, they never end amicably or good. This is one where, you know, it says an acquaintance. I don't know if it was a lover or acquaintance, a friend, but a roommate. But the female decided to hold everything hostage until he paid his back rent. And he decided that once he got his apartment, he was going to come over and take his stuff. And luckily, the deputies got there to intervene in the meantime and explain to both of them the civil process. If they couldn't work this out between them, then they needed to go to court and work this out. And I think they worked it out, but they chose to work it out between them.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
It's less time spent in the courts and wasting everybody else's time.
Except the deputies.
Yeah, well, there's that.
You know, we referee everything in everybody's lives.
And we thank you for that.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, it's appreciated. It's appreciated. Let's talk about this traffic stop. A vehicle with expired license plates. And upon further investigation, it was discovered the vehicle hadn't been registered in over 4 years, and the driver had a stolen registration sticker inside the vehicle. Oh, there's trouble.
Oh, my God. You know, we've talked about this before on the podcast where some of these fraud scams are this. You know, they'll get one person will register a bunch of cars to them because, you know, some illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants can't do that. And they will also steal registration stickers and license plates. And so it turns out this is one of those guys that was driving a vehicle that hadn't been registered in 4 years, but he had a bunch of stolen registration stickers in his car.
Oh, he had a bunch of them, not just one.
Oh, yeah, so he was selling them.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, but he wasn't smart enough to put them on his own car or the car he was driving.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because why put it on my car when I could sell it?
Now, how does somebody get a stack of stickers like
you
that?
You know, who knows where they stole them from?
Yeah.
Because those things are designed, we've talked about. Like, if you try to take it off, if you've ever done it yourself, like you try to put it
apart.
On, and you go, oh, I want to move it, and all of a sudden it breaks.
Right.
They're made to do that. We don't know where you got them from, but this is part of these common schemes that they're doing. And this guy, because of the way he was acting, the deputy decided to call our narcotics team, our canine team, and of course hit on narcotic paraphernalia inside the car. So this guy was intoxicated at the time. The car wasn't registered. He had these stolen stickers. He got arrested on numerous charges.
Yeah. And awaiting.
And he's enjoying himself at the Summit County Detention Facility.
The Iron Bar Hotel.
Three hots and a cot.
There you go. A suspicious occurrence when a homeowner in unincorporated Silverthorne reported that a surveillance camera captured a couple of individuals parking their vehicle in his driveway.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I mean, this is one where, again, we talk about people with surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
Everybody has them. They're Ring cameras and cameras all over their house. This was a homeowner, a second homeowner, that saw these two, it looked like workers, pull up their truck on the driveway, get out, spread out their lunch, eat lunch, threw their lunch away in the homeowner's trash can, and drove away. Didn't try to break in, didn't no crime other than pull up. Maybe they thought they were at a, I don't know. I don't know where they thought they were. This one is still, we're still looking for the people and the vehicle involved, because obviously we have the license plate. But yeah, we're currently still looking for them. But this is just a weird one where there was no, other than trespassing, there was no real harm done. In fact, they threw their lunch trash inside the trash can, then packed up the car, the truck, and left.
They're being respectful.
Maybe they thought they were at a house they were going to work at, and then realized halfway through lunch, like, ooh, Tom, I don't think this is the house.
No, it's 632, not 623. Where are you parking?
It's only when cops get the wrong door that we get in trouble,
exactly.
Right? But when workers...
Right. So these guys aren't in trouble of any kind.
No. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, clearly their whole time on the property was caught on surveillance.
Sure.
They were just having a picnic with a picnic basket.
Ain't no harm to nobody.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. Well, it's back to Dillon Reservoir. Deputies approached three teenagers who had tied up their SUPs, stand-up paddleboards, to a mooring that is available on the lake to tie up boats to, but they took off their life jackets and they were just out for a swim.
You know, teenagers,
right?
They have the paddle boards. They have the personal flotation devices, decided to take them off and go swimming in freezing water, ice cold water.
Not a good idea.
Not legal or not a good idea.
Right.
Because remember, there's no swimming in our lake.
Yep.
You can boat and recreate, but you can't swim. These kids were good kids and understood their ways, and the deputies again pulled up to them in the big sheriff boat with their little paddle boards and just kind of educated them on, you know, the dangers of swimming in ice cold water, that the three of them could find themselves drowning, you know, and forget about trying to rescue one of them.
But were they cold?
They're teenagers. Teenagers don't get cold.
No, kids. That's right. They're bomb proof. What am I thinking?
It's like when you see kids running around outside in the snow with no gloves, no hat.
Yeah.
So you know,
they're bomb proof.
It's crazy, but they are somehow.
Yeah. On the Dillon Reservoir, another incident when deputies received a report of a woman who's yelling at boaters on the water, instructing them to leave the Windy Point area because it was reserved for a private event.
Yeah. So, you know, we run into this so you can make like wedding reservations at these campgrounds, right? And there's some beautiful, as we know, oh my God, there's some beautiful places, beaches, to reserve and hold a party. But when you reserve these spaces, it doesn't mean like it's no public access.
Right.
You know, it's clearly explained in the rules, like, yes, you're renting the beach, but the public has complete access. Well, this wedding planner decided that they were going to play person, boat, people, SUP monitor, and try to keep people out of the wedding. And as you know, that just draws more conflict because sure. people want to challenge that, going, hey, I live here. I know that you can't shoo people away. And so before you know it, you know, she's attracting a crowd that she's trying to shoo away. And so, of course, the deputies were called to, again, referee bad behavior on both sides by that point.
So right? how does this turn out?
Luckily, no punches were thrown.
That's
no,
a good thing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it was early on before there was too much alcohol ingested. Because
oh, good.
Could you see this getting on a wedding video?
Oh.
Like, this is our wedding.
Yeah.
The beautiful wedding. And then we pan to the left. And look, there's a fist fight on the shore of the lake. But, you know, we've had in past years, and we might even have it this summer, we've had some crazy things like people just literally go out to one of the many islands out there and unpack a band, a tent, food, illegally, like because you can't reserve the islands.
Right.
And set up huge parties and have boats bringing people out to them to where our deputies have to go out there and intervene and go, hey, I'm sorry about the wedding, but you can't just come here and take over an island. Beautiful islands.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Who wouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, there used to be camping way back
yes.
in the day. I mean, you can even still see some of the facilities that are very
yes.
much overgrown.
Yes.
But that was an idea that apparently Denver Water didn't take kindly to.
Yes.
And
still doesn't.
Yeah. They shut that down real quick. So, yeah. Recreating around Lake Dillon has definitely got some restrictions, and Denver Water has their say over what goes on in and around the reservoir. And the deputies are on patrol looking for people who are not wearing their PFDs, personal flotation devices, your life jacket. It's mandatory when you're on the lake, especially when you're in a canoe, stand up paddleboard. And it's the law for kids
it's
under
law.
12, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's the law, period, out there. You have to have one.
Right.
At least on your board. Like if you're on a stand up paddleboard here on Lake Dillon, an adult, you have to at least have it attached to your paddleboard. Now, what's crazy to me is these people that actually do just attach it to the board and don't put it on.
Right.
Do they really think they're going to be able to grab it in time, put it on, and they're in the water? Sometimes they don't really think it through. People don't really realize like how dangerous that cold water is. Like it's warm for the first 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, this is nice. You're dipping your feet in off your paddleboard, off your little, you know, paddle boat. And then, you know, you go below that first 6-12 inches. I mean, it is ice cold water and it'll take your breath away.
But the PFD will interfere with my tan lines.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. But, you know, in this instant, this did happen. You know, there's a program out on our lake where we will loan you a PFD for the day. They rent them, but there's a loaner program out there. There's no excuse not to have them. But in this instance, as the deputy's trying to wrangle these women, there's a whole other group as he literally just stopped them and said, no, you got to put on PFDs. He notices a whole other group launching, you know, waving. Because they think the deputy's waving at them.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Welcome to Summit County.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. We're going on our SUP without a PFD.
Oh, my gosh.
Not a good
yeah.
idea. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Where the loaners, I mean, I've seen them around at the various boat ramps. Where exactly
yeah.
are those loaners?
They are. They're at the boat ramps is
okay.
exactly where they are. The two marinas. And also over in Pine Cove, the sheriff's office, we have a substation over there. And we have a loaner program right there at our substation at Pine Cove at the campground.
And that's nice and shallow water. Very
oh.
popular for SUPs.
Oh, yeah. That little inlet. Is
yep.
that what you call it? Inlet. Yeah.
Right, right.
Very popular. Great campground, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Right on the lake.
Just remember, you've got to wear a personal flotation device when you're out on the lake. Unless you're in a great big boat.
Oh.
Where you don't have to wear one, but you still have to have one on board.
One of those huge pontoon boats with
yeah.
the barbecues and
right.
the refrigerators and ice chests.
All
and,
that fun stuff.
Oh, my
God. Oh, let's talk about another road rage incident. This one on I-70. A woman reported another driver for what she described as intentionally swerving into her on the highway. That caused her to drive off the road.
Yeah, so this was an interesting one. You know, you think of road rage, whether it was intentional or not. So this woman, one woman swerves into another woman, causing her to go off the road. She comes back on, and now the woman who got chased off the road decides she's going to follow the woman that just ran her off the road. So now the woman who's being chased is calling 911 saying there's some crazy driver not even realizing that she had run someone off the road. So now she thinks that there's some crazy driver tailgating her at 70 miles an hour. So they both pull over, and the deputy finds out that there's absolutely conflicting stories between the two of them, because one didn't know what the other one did. She just thought, oh, my God, some crazy woman's tailgating me, following me. So neither of them got cited. They both agreed on a warning. They both shook hands and parted ways and were really sorry for their behavior.
Did they agree to become a little more aware of their surroundings while they're driving?
You know, I mean, how many times do we see this on the road?
All the time.
And it's because people are usually distracted.
Yeah.
I mean, even though distracted driving is not allowed,
right,
people are driving distracted.
Well, even if they're not distracted, they're just in their own little world. Yeah. And everything around them, they're oblivious to everything around them.
It's and they do believe it is their world.
Right.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Like we're in bumper cars in an amusement park or something.
You must share the road.
Oh my God.
Aware of other drivers. Just for the safety of yourself and others.
And others, yeah. And be mindful of, there's a lot of new drivers out there all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Hey, this is one we were talking about on the radio this morning. Search and rescue item. A man driving his SUV off-road in the area of Hoosier Pass got stuck in the snow.
Yeah.
And over the next 3 days, the driver attempted to get his vehicle unstuck, but was not successful. And I hear there's a medical element to this?
Yeah, there's a medical/mental health element to this, where this guy, it could have become fatal for him. It could have. If we didn't come across him and rescue him. He had been up there. He had been four-wheeling to where the snow line is, got stuck in the snow, and over the next 3 days, no food, no water, no proper clothing. You know, and if you're at snow line, it's still pretty cold at night.
Yeah, it is. There's a reason there's snow up there. It's cold.
And over those 3 days, he had tried to get his vehicle unstuck and actually got him more stuck.
Wow.
And by the time we found him, he was, he was definitely hypothermic and dehydrated, but mentally and physically not in good shape. But we were able to get out there, our special operations team and Summit County Rescue Group, and get him off the mountain, get him to the hospital. And then, of course, he's on Forest Service land, so we notified our federal partners that there was a vehicle stuck up there. And, you know, there's some off-road recovery companies that go and do that stuff. But this was one where he's lucky that, it's almost like another few hours, we might have been, recovering a body from that mountain.
So how did he get found?
He eventually called 911.
After 3 days.
3 days. Like, it was just like, maybe I should call 911.
Wow.
Yeah. So sad. Luckily, he's alive.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. And who knows about the vehicle? Hopefully, it's off our tundra.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Another search and rescue item. A woman out hiking with friends north of Silverthorn fell and broke her ankle. Search and rescue coming to the rescue.
Yeah. Since the last podcast, we talked about how busy we were last podcast with search and rescue. This has been another one with a lot of broken bones. We had this woman here that snapped her leg it's just the most random, when you hear these calls come out and you think about where they are and you think, how did someone break their leg there?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? However randomly they do it, but people with brittle bones, I guess. We had a mountain biking accident where someone literally snapped the bottom of their leg, with the person reported calling in saying they were holding the leg together, but the bone was actually. She was really calm on the phone, though. Like, I'm literally holding his leg together, but the bone is definitely coming out. Wow. And he's screaming in agony.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, it just highlights that our rescue group is one of the busiest rescue groups in the state.
And one of the most well-equipped, professionally trained. I mean, these guys are certified.
Yeah, been around since the 70s. Yeah. I mean, crazy. All-volunteer group.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't do it without them. I mean, again, it's a statutory responsibility of the sheriff in Colorado to effect search and rescue. So if I didn't have them, I would have to send a paid deputy to do this stuff. So they do us and the community and our visitors a tremendous service.
A big shout out to Summit County Search and Rescue. You're listening to the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, talking with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And we get to visit on the radio Thursday mornings at 7:45, spend a few minutes talking about things. And then here on the podcast, you get a little more in-depth coverage of things that are going on. And this next item, I can relate to it because it happened to me once.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. It's not exactly how this happened, but I had a Jeep, and it was in Winter Park for a ski weekend, and I'd set the parking brake by the condo we were staying in, and the next morning I got up, and the parking brake had popped, and the Jeep rolled down into a snowbank that was between the condo and the driveway and a big hill, and if that snowbank wasn't there, my Jeep would have gone into the condo.
Oh, my God.
So here's a case.
Old school handbrake, I take it. There's people going.
No, it was a Jeep Wrangler that had a foot brake. But that thing popped every time. Oh, I mean, it never really held. It was just one of those defects of those old Jeep Wranglers. Now here's a guy who parked his vehicle off Boreas Road, entered a nearby residence. He forgot to put his vehicle in park and accidentally left it in neutral.
Yeah, this is one where I saw the photo of this. We may have posted it even. I don't remember if we posted it on social media or not, but it was like you would see in a movie. Like people were like, how did that car get down there? And you're like, the guy left it in neutral and got out of the car and it started rolling. And like people are like, but there's no way. It's like, if you think of where it was on Boreas Pass, that's steep.
Yeah.
Everything is steep up there.
Right.
And it got momentum and it crashed through a railing and went down the hillside and looked like, you know, someone had driven off the road. It was crazy.
Oh, if we only had video of that.
Oh, this is podcast, not television. Too bad, right?
Exactly. Oh, well. Summit County Justice Files covering fraud on a regular basis because it's happening. I just got another text I was going to forward it to you for the Department of Motor Vehicle text. That scam, that came up again earlier this week. I got another one. It was like the same one that just came out a couple of weeks ago.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, they just keep trying.
The FBI came out with a warning because they have this scammer they've determined it's coming from China and it's nationwide. So they're taking the one that you got, Tom, and they're changing it to every of the 50 states. So if you're in Alaska, you'll get one from Alaska DMV. If you're in Oregon, I mean, talk about getting sophisticated.
I guess.
You know? So it's no longer wondering, like, was I driving in Idaho? Uh-huh. Now you're going to get one from the state your car is registered in.
Beware.
Or your phone is picking up and I should say it's pain. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Fraud. It's everywhere. Summit County man received a message on WhatsApp informing him that he'd won a gift. Oh, boy. The message included instructions on how to redeem his reward, gave him some contact information for several individuals who claimed to be representatives of the organization from which he supposedly won this gift.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he gave them a gift
of
$2,400 in gift cards.
Whoopsie.
So if you try to unwind that and go, wait a minute, they're telling him he won a gift, and yet he's giving them the money. So these are these scams where they go, hey, you've won $1 million, Tom, but you need to send us a $500 processing fee to get that $1 million.
Right,
and you're like, oh, my God, I can't go fast enough.
Oh, and make sure to send us your bank account for proper routing.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Oh, the frauds are just...
This is one of the ones we talk about in the intro, right? It's funny, but it's not funny. It's not funny, but it's funny.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, this guy lost $2,400. I wouldn't want to lose $2,400.
No,
but
I wouldn't
want to
lose $2.
I mean, if you don't read it in the newspaper, hear it on the radio, hear it on our podcast, put it on our web. We put it so many places about don't fall for scams if you're not sure.
And they're getting more sophisticated look official, like the one from the Department of Motor Vehicles. Like,
That's actually a really good one.
It
sounds factual.
And it states a legal statute in there.
Yes.
And it's kind of scary.
It is.
When you realize that it's all a scam and look at the phone number that it's coming from. It's some international overseas, like foreign number for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah,
yeah, like I say, if you get an email, not the text, but if you get an email, click on the email address so it opens it.
Yeah,
and you'll see that it's some friggin' foreign country.
And you're just on a list with thousands of other people getting the same scam email.
Oh, my God.
Back to the Dillon Reservoir.
Yeah, we're back there again.
There's a storm cell that hit the reservoir, causing 40 to 60 mile an hour winds, creating 4-foot waves. Deputies were alerted to a report of a pontoon boat that was taking on water. And we're quickly updated by dispatch. The boat had flipped over, a pontoon flipping
over?
Yeah,
you know, this is crazy. I mean, this reminding to me, you know, the reason I put it in here for the podcast was, you know, in the news has been Lake Tahoe with that boat that overturned and killed six of the eight people or something.
Right.
And it turned out it was the owner and his parents of, I think, DoorDash or something like that. Some prominent person. But these are these storms that it's the first one I've ever heard of out of Tahoe. But we get these regularly. And this was another one where a bunch of people and their kids, there was kids also that got thrown in the water in this. We scramble to these rescues. You know, we have at least one boat on the water. When I say we, the sheriff's office at all times. Dillon Marina has one. Frisco Marina has one. And when these storms roll in, you know, again, here's first responders taking their lives in their hands, trying to get out there. And you're really trying to assess, like, what are the priorities here? We've got, you know, a dozen boats overturned and 30, 40 people in the water. And you're trying to pick out who has PFDs, where are children, who doesn't, you know, and you're trying to make these priorities. Here's one where everybody was rescued. The boat was towed back to shore. It was rescued. Nobody got hurt. Nobody died. But these are bad storms. And again, people, you know, you tell them, look for these storm clouds to roll in, look for these thunderheads. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, yeah,
blah, 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 blah.
I'm here to go on the lake. And these things happen. I mean, unfortunately, they happen a lot here in Summit County, especially with our monsoon finally going to push in hopefully next week.
Right.
It'll become an every afternoon event here in Summit County.
If you want to recreate on the lake, do it early in the morning when it's nice and calm before the storms blow in.
And wear a personal flotation device.
Please, for everyone's safety.
Hey, yeah, and if you get blown somewhere, blow with it and just know someone will come rescue you. I mean, that's some other thing. Don't jump off your watercraft and try to swim. Just go with it. You'll end up on an island or another, the opposite shore where you intended. But we will find you, and you can wave your hands, and we will load you onto our boat and take you to back where you came from. Don't panic.
Keeping it safe on the Dillon Reservoir, thanks to the Summit County Sheriff's Office. There's a neighbor of a short-term rental that reported that people were staying in a unit that was supposedly vacant. And deputies responded and discovered signs of occupancy inside, but they received no response when they knocked on the door and announced their presence. I wonder why.
So, you know, we talk about these things on the podcast, and I just want listeners to understand, like, these aren't like wash, rinse, repeat. We're not repeating the same stories.
These are all new stories.
These are all occurring all the time.
Yeah.
So this, again, is some former maintenance people that had codes to certain condo units. They no longer work for those companies anymore. And now they find themselves needing a place to sleep or party or hang out or throw a party. And so they go, oh, you know, I have all those codes in my phone from those condos. I'm going to go to one of those. So these two guys, the reason why they didn't answer the door is they were actually hiding inside from the cops. Did they not think that the owner also gave us the code?
So, how about that?
And permission to enter.
Yeah.
We found these two guys hiding. They admitted they had the codes, and they were former employees of a maintenance company, and that they were just hanging out, needed a place to stay. And we gave them a place to stay here at the Summit County Detention Facility.
The Iron Bar Hotel.
Come on vacation.
leave on probation.
That's not true anymore.
No, not so much?
No, we try to. Well, I guess it could be true.
It could be.
Yeah.
In some cases.
But not like it used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Back to the Dillon Reservoir, some violations. There is a campground reporting a group of campers who are cutting down green trees to use for a campfire. Because firewood, of course, it's kind of at a premium at these campgrounds. A lot of people bring your own.
Right? Because all the dead wood's picked up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. cutting down green trees. They're not going to burn, first of all.
It really makes you stop and ponder, like, did you see that on TikTok? Did you watch that in a movie? Like, is it like a campy movie where you go and you get your axe and you cut down a perfectly good green tree and you're going to chop it up and burn it? Like you said, Dom, green trees don't burn. No. Live trees don't burn.
Not at all.
I don't know where people are seeing this, but, you know, these campgrounds have hosts. Whatever they have paid is not enough, but they keep us on speed dial. The host, of course, went over there to try to talk to him, saying, hey, you can't cut down trees, and B, they're not going to burn. And they didn't want to listen to the camp host, so the camp host said, well, I'll call a deputy to come and talk to you then to explain this to them. And the deputy came and explained the same thing, and of course they were apologetic, and we let them enjoy the rest of their camping trip and told them to go look for dead wood laying on the ground the way other people are doing. Or go buy some.
Yeah, go stop in the convenience store and buy a bundle.
I'm sure the campground host probably has a bundle.
Probably.
Oh, gosh.
Another busy day at the Dillon Reservoir with deputies giving out citations for no personal flotation devices and a couple of warnings as well.
Yeah, you know, this is one where, I bring this one up because this was a family with kids and they had bought in their PFDs on Amazon. And it turns out that they were fraudulent PFDs. And on the kids' PFDs, they even said not to be used as a flotation device.
But it looks so cute. It has little mermaid wings on it.
You know, sometimes I'm telling you, the answer to a lot of people is Amazon. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'll just go to Amazon and buy something. I know PFDs are really expensive, but look how cheap they are on Amazon.
Right.
Well, it's because they're fake.
Yeah.
And it even... whoever made them, whatever business offshore made them, even put on there that they're fake. But, you know, we were able to get these people some loaners, let these people enjoy themselves. But, you know, folks, Tom and I keep saying, wear your PFD, but wear a real PFD.
One that's approved. It'll say it. I mean, there's a label on there that will actually say that it's approved. Was it Coast Guard approved?
Yeah, Coast Guard approved.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to have... the right gear.
The real gear. It's only your life, Tom.
Yeah, that's only your life. That's all. Well, that's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power. And a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
It never does. And just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all of our suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friend, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, it never ends well, and you just might end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. That is summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is The Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.